This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Ovechkin on the ice here as the puck for Sandin is fired wide. Alex goes to the front of the net. He gets it. He scores! Alex Ovechkin has scored with 16:08 to go in the first period. The pass behind the net for Dylan Strome. History is on deck here in the nation's capital. It's 1-0 Washington. And Alex Ovechkin has goal 8-93.
Once again, another great call by our friend John Walton right here on the Team 980 Friday night. The Odyssey app, Caps Radio. Once again, Alex Ovechkin's pursuit then and now the culmination of the chase, the great chase.
And now toward the blue line as it moves into the top of the right circle. A feet low off the stick of Vlasic. Kept in down the middle here. Carlson. Wilson looking in the bumper, but Carlson looking to stick handle first. Ovechkin was off to the left-hand side. The Hawks will gum it up and then send it away.
Yeah, Carlson walking down the middle of the ice right there. He's got to fire that puck. He can't look for that fancy pass.
Puck coming near side. And away from Mangiapane. Second unit here. Ovechkin, he scores! Alex Ovechkin has 8-94! And the bench empties here at Capital One Arena! Ovechkin has reached the summit! He needs one more to go one step beyond! He has tied Wayne Gretzky for the most all-time in NHL history! Scene here at Capital One Arena. The Capitals bench empties. They mob their captain in the corner. It has happened here in Washington, D.C. on this April 4th, 2025. 894. He congratulates his family and his son on the glass. He needs one more. He has tied Gretzky. Unbelievable.
So Carlson will make his way to the neutral ice, dropping it for Dylan Strome. He and Chychrun will team up and glide through center. Right side to Wilson. Centered up. Ovechkin has it. He scores! He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores 8-95. There's a new goal-scoring champion, and his name is Alexander Ovechkin. He has done it here on Long Island. His teammates mob him. There is but one. Alexander the Great, the greatest to ever do it in National Hockey League history.
Well, fitting that he does it on the power play. He scored so many goals, but this guy is just unbelievable. You just can't count him out of anywhere. He gets that puck, and everybody waiting to go, and he fires that puck right by Sorokin. Outstanding, and congratulations to Alex. Well-deserved. You can see how happy he is. He loves this game, loves this team, loves the city, and now it's his time for a while. Let it shine.
It is his 42nd goal of the season. It is the biggest goal he has ever scored. He is the greatest of all time. Alex Ovechkin, 895 goals as the game has stopped. And the Islander bench is emptied.
as has Washington. The chance is Ovi here on Long Island. History has been made forever and always here at UBS Arena in Belmont Park, New York. Washington has scored their first of the game, and the game right now is almost secondary as the scratches have come out on the Washington bench and the ovation from the Islander fans and Capitals fans alike. Those who made the trip have seen history. They have seen 895.
I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Yep. What's up? Hello.
And look who's back after a three-day weekend, Jason Bishop.
Morning.
Bishbox.
Morning, everybody.
Are you rested, recovered, feeling good?
I'm tired, as I always am. I don't know about you guys.
What did you say? It was parents' weekend? Is that what it was?
It was just a short little parents' weekend thing. And I'm going back down there this weekend, too, because it's spring game.
Are they optimistic? They got new guys? What's going on?
I mean, they got the same quarterbacks, but they've got new they brought in a bunch of guys from the portal. But this is a big year for Coach Pry. This is a big one. But, yeah, this is the last spring game. I only have two more weekends to go down there. I got spring game, and I've got graduation. And
oh, you're going to get melancholy.
Probably.
I understand. I know the drill. We all do.
But Masters week, so he'll be happy about that. He's got his Masters hat on.
That's true.
It's a big
I was
week.
Wondering what that banged up green hat was until he turned.
No, I got one of those, too. Did we all get them, like, during Christmas or something?
Someone got this for me down there.
Yes, because I have the same exact one.
No, it was a buddy of mine. I don't know. I can't remember who.
I got a towel. I got all these ball markers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
But I just couldn't believe the incredible luck Cakes had. I don't know when you bought those tickets. It was about 3 weeks ago.
I bought the Caps Islanders tickets. Yeah, it was like three and a half weeks ago.
You nailed
and
it, buddy.
You just completely nailed it.
I threaded the needle. I'm not sure how.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, let's be honest. I got but lucky that Ovi didn't have a Hattie on Friday night.
Right.
Oh, it was right there.
At Capital One Arena. Yeah. I mean, he had multiple opportunities.
What did he have, about 8 minutes left after he scored the second? Was it halfway through the third, something like that?
Something like that. He had plenty of time, but he had a chance or two point blank range.
I thought it was locked up that he was only going to have two goals because they pulled the goalie.
Right.
They're up two, but then once they're up two, they put their goalie back in. And if the goalie's back in, then Ovi's activated.
That's when the truth revealed itself, Jason. Let me say this. We did the alt cast for Monumental Sports on Friday night. It was a lot of fun.
Perfect time to do
it. I think it might have been the most fun we've had.
Yeah.
I saw Drab tweet something to the effect. It was exciting. I can't remember the last time.
I was at the game.
Yeah, there was a game that felt that exciting that you weren't even at.
Yeah.
Because you're rooting for Ovi, and Ovi scored the first goal, 2 minutes in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden it was a sweat. It was like, whoa,
like it's on.
He's got a realistic chance of winning it. And Cakes kept saying, oh, it'd be nice to win a Hattie. But about 10 minutes left, Eric and I kind of called him out on it. And he's like, no, a hat trick would be awesome. It'd be awesome to see him do it at home. But with about a minute left when he started having those chances, the truth revealed itself. And you saw Cakes actively rooting for no goal.
I got greedy. At one point, I said, I've never said this forever, but now I'm going to say it. Ovi, don't score now.
Yeah.
Don't score now, because then it makes my trip to the Islanders game basically all for naught.
Correct.
And that'd be fun. I'd still use the tickets.
We talked about that last week, and I basically asked you. I said, there's no way you want to go up there if he's already broken it.
Right.
Even though you would have done it. But
it takes a bit of the uniqueness out of the trip.
I mean, just the luck that you had just to time it perfectly. I kept telling all my buddies and my wife was asking me. I said, I can't believe that he can break it on the exact date that he's going up there.
I looked at the schedule and the games that were remaining and games that were close and drivable and that were around where the record could potentially be broken. And that Islanders game just kind of, it fell into that category.
No, but
it spoke to me.
But still, it's still to predict.
I got lucky. There's no way around
it. To nail it on the exact day.
I got freaking lucky to be there.
Incredible.
But I'll tell you this. I was not the only Caps fan in the building. I mean, you guys watched it. That UBS Arena, I think, was 60, maybe 65% Caps fans.
Wow. Did you shed any tears, Cakes?
Wow.
Because even watching just the ceremony afterwards, at one point I got a little choked up.
I didn't have a creeper. It wasn't like them winning the Stanley Cup, because I always put that above and beyond like the individual. But, I mean, it's look, he just took down the most hallowed record in all of hockey.
I didn't cry, but I felt emotion when he was talking.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very cool.
His parents, yeah. I mean, his his mom, his father-in-law, his family.
His kids are there.
And he's just so good with the guys.
Yeah.
And he includes the fans every time he talks. I mean, the guy just says all the right things. And you can tell clearly he's not super comfortable with all that. He's kind of a man of few words. But all of them were very meaningful, I thought. And definitely caught me in the feels a little bit. I didn't cry. I don't like crying. But it felt a tinge of emotion.
There were some fans that were crying.
Oh, I'm sure.
When they panned towards the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure. They panned towards the crowd, and my buddy.
You got a shot?
My buddy Zach, who I had no idea he was going to be there. But they panned to him, and he was hugging his son. You see that? Mm-hmm. He was hugging his son, and I read his lips. He goes, I effing love you. And it was just
his son is how old?
I don't know. His son is probably two? No, his son is probably teenager, like 15, 16.
That's great.
But now, it meant so much for him to be there with his son.
It was awesome.
To watch
like
it.
A bonding experience. Like I was there with two of my three kids. It was great. It was great to share that moment with them. Very
They'll
cool.
never forget that.
The only needle I didn't thread, and this is very nitpicky, is when I bought the tickets. I specifically bought on the end where the Caps shoot twice. And, of course, he scores on the opposite end of the ice. But, look, I'm in the building. I was there. You know, I was there with my kids.
Looked like your seats were pretty good.
We had a great sight line to it, but it was at the other end of the ice. But it didn't matter. Like
how could you
when
that
goal went in, I don't know that I've been in a place with a louder pop.
Every power play on Friday night became electric, and right? And then the same thing carried over. It was like once the power play's on, it's like, okay, it's on.
Anytime Ovi was on the ice and was close to the puck, the arena just had a buzz and an electricity to it because people were like, people are literally raising out of their seats to try to get a better view. And this would have tilted drab in my section, and I'm sure a lot of them, like 80% of the people were trying to film like when Ovi was near the goal.
Oh, I would.
But I took Drab's advice. He was like, live in the moment. Don't, you know, like there, nobody cares about your angle of it. And that's what I did. I didn't even attempt to get a picture of it video of it.
Plenty of video out there.
Yeah, there's so much video. Yeah. And mine would have been from the opposite end of the arena. So,
believe me, everybody on TV was holding their phones in the arena. Yeah.
Looked like you had yourself a day, though. You saw Paulie, good friend Paulie Flicks beforehand.
Paulie lives in Staten Island. And I drive right by Staten Island to get to Long Island. And I was like, let's just grab, you know, bagels or a quick breakfast.
Nice.
We did that. And then I drove to UBS Arena, parked. It's a beautiful arena. That building is spectacular. Now, I understand why Ted wanted to build a new building, because you walk in there, it's spacious, it's brand new, it's impressive architecture on the outside. Like, they did it right with that building.
Mm.
Now, I parked right across the street. That was money well spent, because by the time I got there, both my daughter and I, we had to pee like the racehorses at Belmont, which is right there. It's in the same complex.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. I was like, you know what? This makes the $90 for the parking kind of worth it. So I get in. Of course, I buy my 50-50 tickets. Then I bought another set later because I saw how big the jackpot was getting. Like at one point, it was like over 50 grand. Like, it was a big one. It was a big boy. I don't know whether I won it or not. I haven't checked. I'm pretty sure.
I saw you linked up with Chris Russell and JP Finley.
We did a shot.
Lou, who does the web stuff.
Lou DiPietro,
yes.
Who works for Odyssey, was handling all of the filming the content that I did with the Rooster and JP Finley, and I did a quick shot, reaction shot afterwards.
I need to talk to Lou because about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, he asked me for my password for the Junkies Facebook page.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not on him, but I'm frozen out. I'm locked out. He started adding things. I was like, yeah, if you want to add stuff, sure.
Yeah.
I get tired of doing all the work. I was like, go ahead, but now I can't get on.
By all the media that were there.
Yeah.
And the fact that you said there were 60% Caps fans, wow. That's pretty crazy.
And I'll give a hat tip to the Islanders fans that were there. They were all rooting for Ovi. They were cheering along.
I noticed that.
Like, the whole arena erupted. It wasn't just
everybody
the Caps
fans. Everybody was down the stretch.
Everybody
was in on it. That, you know, like, the Islanders fans that were in my section, at least, They were nothing but nice
they
and
were
cool
going crazy.
And welcoming. And,
but man, Gary Bettman is hated.
Oh, he's despised.
There were two things that jumped out. Gary Bettman got booed during the ceremony, like loudly. And then Gretzky started thanking everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about, this is the best sport in the world. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and the referees. And boo. Oh, no. He wanted to jock the referees.
Why do they hate Bettman? Remind me. I'm just
because people generally hate commissioners. Yeah. I think that's just a common thread.
Work stoppages.
I mean, Roger Goodell gets booed all the time.
There's a reason to hate Roger.
Ben Gretzky mispronounced Ted Leonsis.
That
was awkward. I don't know if he was nervous or if he just doesn't know.
He did it a couple times. I just think he doesn't know.
Yeah. But did just think about the travel. I'll tell you who's happy it's over.
Yeah.
Is Gretzky.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll say this. After the whole thing was done, like, because Gretzky, like, I was sitting in section 118. Like, I was, if the goal is here, I'm, like, here, lower level. I had good seats. And in the, like, loge suites above me, a little bit off to the right, was Bettman, Gretzky, and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I could tell something was going on because before puck drop, everybody in my section stood up and turned around. I was like, what's going on? And it was Gretzky waving to the crowd. So, of course, he goes down to the ice. That whole contingent, after Ovi scores, they do the ceremony. You think they went back to their seats afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
They bolted out of UBS Arena with the quickness.
Well, I read his lips because he was hugging his wife. His wife was crying.
Right.
He was hugging his wife, and he said, let's go home.
Right.
Well, I read his lips.
Yeah,
he said that.
Now, I'll give him credit. He did the rounds like in the locker room and the pose for a bunch of pictures, and I saw that he was in the Islanders locker room because Ovi wanted Sorokin's goalie stick, the goalie he scored on, which he had never scored on before yesterday.
Never scored on that guy.
So that was good timing for Ovi. So Gretzky was classy throughout. Like, I can't feel like he was classy as far as traveling and then, you know, the heartfelt words he had for Ovi and breaking the record. But I'm sure he's glad he's not just crisscrossing the country anymore.
It was just strange that in the middle of a game, you get a 20-minute ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really strange.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like the Cal Ripken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And just like Cal Ripken, who came up big in the moment with the home run, Ovi did on those last two games with two goals on Friday night and the goal yesterday to break the record.
Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Score! The chasing days are done! Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL.
Incredible moment. Joe B's call. We've been playing all morning long. He and Locker stepped away at that point. Let the moment breathe. It was awesome. Chris Russell was there. He was back home on the island. He joins us right now. Of course, Chris can be heard, and you should listen to Chris at 1 o'clock today. I'm sure he will share a lot of what he'll share with us, but a lot more starting at 1 to 4 every day here, of course, on the Team 980 at WrestleMania 621. Before we get started, where you grew up on the island, right?
Yep. Yeah, hey, Kev. Eastern Long Island, little town, Mastic, Shirley, about 45-ish, 50 minutes east on the south shore of the UBS Arena, which is really on the borderline of Queens and Long Island at, of course, the old Belmont Racetrack.
So you grew up in Suffolk County?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were an Islanders fan. That was your team?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you know, you grew up, they won four consecutive Stanley Cups from 80 to 83. You know, that's my formative years. I was born in 73, so I was, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, over those 4 years. And then even after that, when Gretzky finally toppled them with the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, that was, you know, that was what I grew up on. New York, Long Island, is a baseball town first. And at that point, and in some ways it still very much is, a hockey town after that. Now, college basketball was huge back then, the Big East, and as you know, Big John and Louis Karnisek and all that. But baseball first, but hockey was pretty much reigning supreme because of the four consecutive Stanley Cups.
Okay, well, we'll have that conversation another day. I don't want to have that conversation today because I think it's a pretty good Knicks town and not that bad in that time frame Giantstown. The Giants were competing for world championships back then. We're not going to do that now. I just want to find out from you before the moment. Tell me about the crowd and the crowd mix.
Yeah, so the way I compared it to people actually at UBS Arena, when I saw, when I went into the low, you know, into the bowl, into the arena, you know, from high atop, the crowd assembled behind the Capitals net for the first period was very reminiscent to me of what I witnessed in person in Game 5 of yeah. At T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas for the Stanley Cup Final. You know, very red, intensive, very loud, very passionate. And then the crowd kind of fills in the building, Kevin. And there was, I would say it was, you know, probably a 60-40 mix, maybe a 50, closer to a 50-50 mix. There were a ton of Capitals fans, mostly in red, mostly in Ovechkin jerseys. I saw them all in the parking lot. I saw them all in the, you know, in the concourse when we were doing some social media stuff. With Cakes from the Junkies and JP, you know, from his show and some other fans and whatever, there were just a ton of Capitals fans, which shouldn't surprise anybody.
How did the Islander fans that were there, were they excited to witness history?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, again, there's no way the deafening noise when he actually did it, but even before that, there's no way that was just all the Caps fans. The Islanders fans, for those that don't know, again, a very, very, very proud, passionate, loud fan base. Maybe, again, it's not as big as the Knicks or the Rangers or the Giants or the Jets or whatever, Mets, Yankees, but it is a very, very hockey-savvy, smart, passionate, loud fan base. They were very much into it. I saw them all. I've seen the video that I shot and that everybody else has shot. It ain't just red jersey standing. They understood the moment. I thought they did great. I was a little disappointed by the Islanders' social media, which immediately put out a tweet that was like, goal, WSH, 2-1. Come on, man, do better than that. But outside of that, that everything it? I could tell, the yeah. Islanders and the NHL did great.
That's awesome. And Nassau County Coliseum, where the Islanders played, and they were such a factor. Look, the first years of the Caps making it to the postseason in the 80s, it seemed like every year they were losing in a Game 5 or a Game 7 to the Islanders, pretty much, during those first years. So, and that Nassau County Coliseum was unbelievable. Is the new arena just as loud, just as raucous?
So I would say, you know, it's hard to judge based on yesterday because, of course, the crowd was so jacked up for Ovechkin and hockey history. But, I mean, between you and I and the lamppost, if I'm not watching the Caps, I'm watching the Islanders, right? So I've seen a ton of games there. That was my first visit there, and it's always very loud, very passionate. Again, they do the yes, yes, yes chant, and they have the music to it when they score, and it's very loud and passionate on most nights. Now, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or whatever, but it's a really good building when they're in the playoffs and for big game atmospheres and whatnot. It was really a really nice arena. I wouldn't say it had any tremendous bells and whistles, but it's a really nice arena compared to the old Nassau Coliseum.
All right, so let's talk about Alex Ovechkin and 895 and the tear that he's been on. But you're a hockey guy. Put it in perspective. What did we witness yesterday? Where does this rank on the all-time individual moments in league history?
Well, in league history, I mean, scoring goals is the most important thing, right? But team history, it would be winning a Stanley Cup. So I don't think it rises to even Alex and the Caps.
I know, but individual, that's what I'm asking you.
Individually, I think it's the number one moment because that's the most important thing. And nobody thought anybody would beat Gretzky. And I remember when Gretzky broke the record. And, you know, he thought somebody would break it at that point. In an interview he did with Gordie Howe right after that, and Alex, of course, broke Gordie Howe 2 years ago at 8:02. So he thought it would happen. To me, The only thing that rises individually, I was trying to think about this in sports last week, is Ripken's 21-30 because, you know, several guys have done 2,000 yards in the NFL rushing. I know Drew Brees eclipsed against the Redskins on a Monday night, the all-time touchdown mark, but you need a lot of help with that. You do need help to score goals in the NHL. I'm not saying you don't. Obviously, had a great pass from Tom Wilson yesterday for the record breaker, but it's mostly an individual thing, you versus the goaltender, and that's why I kind of put it in that lexicon of Cal Ripken and maybe hitting home runs, but the problem is the guy that's got the home run record in baseball, we know was a juiced-out freak. So,
yeah, it's interesting, the conversation, like, you know, if we're talking about career records, this is right there. I know the points record that and the assist record that Gretzky has both of are considered mm-hmm. to be borderline unbreakable. You know, yardage yep. records, you're right. I don't, you know, there's not a memorable yardage record to me that matches what we saw yesterday. LeBron, you know, recently, you know, getting to 50,000 points, that doesn't match yesterday to me. You know, we can talk about the individual game stuff, you know, Wilt's 100 or a 56 game hitting streak right. by DiMaggio and some of those things. But it's got to be, you know, it's got to be right there near the top of the list. Why do you think he is doing what he's doing, the tear that he is on, the pace that he is scoring at 39 years old, when last year in that loss in the postseason in four straight games, mm-hmm. it looked like he was borderline done? What happened?
Yeah, he was out of gas because he carried that team with a piano on his back for the last two and a half, three months of last regular season. Remember, they weren't very good the first half of last year. In Spencer Carberry's first year as a head coach, they were okay, but they needed every single point, as you might remember, beating Philadelphia on the road on the last night of the regular season just to squeeze in as the eighth seed and to take on a super-powered Rangers team. So, yeah, I understand how it looked. He was out of gas. I think he would privately admit that if he didn't publicly. I don't remember. But to me, like, the one thing about Alex that I've come to appreciate about him, Kevin, is, you know, earlier in his career, I think it was widely known. Listen, he enjoyed life. I'll just leave it at that, right? And he still enjoys life now. But he enjoys life as a family man, as a hockey rock star, but he works his ass off in the off season, in training, after he relaxes and has a little fun, and people have seen, you know, pudgy belly shots and whatever, he doesn't come to camp out of shape. It's not like Alex comes in at 250 and he's got to shed 30 pounds. That's not what happens. And then he keeps it up throughout the year, and so much so that obviously he had a broken leg, and everybody thought there's no way he's going to get this record this year because of that, because he's going to be out 5 to 6 weeks. He missed 5 weeks, and he comes back on an absolute heater, and then he started to stall again until like a week and a half ago, and then he just goes on this tear that he's been on, and that's what kind of guy he is. He's a, I don't want to say he's streaky, but he can go on a tear, and he works hard, really hard at his overall game now, later in his career, and he's settled down and been less of a rock star and more of a great teammate and leader over the last, say, 7 or 8 years than he was earlier in his career.
Talking to Rooster, Chris Russell was there yesterday on the island. He was there Friday night for the two goals that ended up tying Gretzky in what looked like an absolute insane arena. You know, yeah. When he got to 894 the other night, there were so many opportunities to break the record mm-hmm. with a hat trick. He was so close and got robbed a couple of times. What was the sense like in the arena Friday night when Chicago pulled the goaltender and there was a chance that Ovi might be on the ice?
So it's interesting because I heard you talking about, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was, I thought it was you on Friday morning, Kev. Yeah. On my way in talking about empty netters, and I talked a little bit about it, and I didn't even think, honestly, as well as I know kind of hockey, you know, for most people, I didn't even think he would refuse to be on the ice for an empty net situation. I thought he would let that happen naturally. I was wrong. He didn't want to be. He didn't want to break the record on an empty net goal situation, which is how he scored 70 goals, I think, in his career. So I was surprised by that, quite honestly, because I was watching it very closely. It was about 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the third period. I thought, oh, here we go. I had the camera on, the video on, and he stayed on the bench. And I was like, oh, wow. And then Ryan Leonard scores his first NHL goal, right? And then he comes on, and he's absolutely just blistering seeds at the Chicago goaltender, who goes back in because it's now a two-goal lead. And he almost had it several times that night, both before the empty net, after the empty net, and ultimately came up short. But that night was incredible. I'm so happy. I asked him afterwards. I said, you know, look, we get to win the Stanley Cup here in Washington. How important was this, considering that you might break this record on the road, which is ultimately what happened? And he didn't seem, like, overly moved by doing it at home. But I know the fan support that he's always gotten means a lot to him and his family. And I know deep inside of him, like, I'm sure, relief, yes, but also happy that one of these huge moments happened at home. And it was really cool on Friday night. I don't know how to compare the two, but it was really cool on Friday night.
You know, you actually made me think of something, and I could be wrong, and I'm asking you. If Chicago's a good team and they're vying for playoff positioning, they probably pull the goaltender again down two goals, mm-hmm. but they never did. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering mm-hmm. if that was in part because they wanted Ovi on the ice, not that they were going to give up anything. The goaltender was outstanding on a couple of the saves. But, you know, in yep. most situations, down two, if that's a big game, yep. you're pulling the goalie again. And they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. And they are a terrible team. The Caps had, you know, yep. 54 more points or whatever. They didn't play bad the first half plus of the game. You know, and Alex obviously had great chances. I remember a flurry at the end of the second period, and I think I mentioned this on Twitter or whatever. I said, he's hunting. He's close. He, you know, he had the one already early on in the first period. And the same kind of thing happened yesterday. It was a sleepy first period for Alex. He didn't seem to be, like, taking as many regular shifts. And then the Islanders took a 2-0 lead, and everything was kind of out of whack. And then he had a great scoring opportunity, maybe a minute and a half before the actual record breaker, in which he almost tucked it in the side of the net. And I would have missed it, Kevin. I couldn't get my camera on in time. It happened so fast. So, like I said, Alex is close. He's got this innate, and great athletes, as you know, have this innate ability to just smell blood. And that's what Ovechkin does. He smells blood. He seizes the moment. He capitalizes, lack of a you know, better term for that, being that he plays for the Capitals. He, in his career, outside of not scoring a playoff overtime goal, which is amazing, he seizes the moment as good as almost any athlete other than Michael Jordan, and maybe you could argue Tom Brady. I think he seizes the moment more often than most great athletes.
But that's a good segue into this as we're talking to Chris Russell. I asked Joe B. this earlier today, the big moment. How would yesterday's big moment have felt had 2018 not happened and he was still in search of his first cup?
Boy, that's a great question. I thought about not only yesterday's moment, but his entire career, right? But for yesterday's moment, for me, I can just tell you this. It would have been a great moment and great history and all that stuff and great for hockey, but there would always be an emptiness if he didn't at least have the one cup. Now, I would love for him to get a second cup, but at least he has the one. But Vic, I'd be lying to you if I said if he had not won the cup at any point, and yesterday happened, if there wouldn't be some sort of emptiness, shallowness, what have you, in his overall, the arch of his career. Again, not trying to take away. It's the hardest thing to do in the game. But there would have been an, for me, there would have been a void. And I can't imagine, knowing Alex a little bit and being around him for a long, long time, I can't imagine that that wouldn't burn a hole through him if he hadn't won the cup.
Did you have a favorite moment after the goal in the, you know, 25 minutes that followed?
Oh, gosh. I think when Gretzky and him hugged, which I had seen on Friday night as well, but hugged,
yeah,
you know, like right there at center ice, was really, really cool. I would say for me, the moments after the game and after they actually let us in, when he kissed Backstrom on the cheek, was pretty cool. And then I was talking to Tom Wilson, who was just gushing praise, and Alex just comes over and he cracks open a beer and he's like, ah, Tommy, you know, like, and Wilson's laughing at him like, dude, you just set the freaking NHL record and you're over here sweating like a pig and cracking a beer and just busting Love my it. Chops, you know, and it just kind of shows you what kind of dude and what kind of leader that guy is. And I asked real quickly, if you give me one more second here, I asked Spencer Carberry after the game, in just your 2 years here, how have you seen him evolve and change? And he's just talking about how he makes it so easy for everyone that comes on this team, free agent, trade, your rookie, and think about how many changes this roster has made just this last year. And he said even the coaching staff, when he took over and his guys took over, and Alex welcomes everyone in and everyone's the same, whether you're a top liner, a fourth liner, a defenseman, a goalie, a rookie, a vet, whatever you are, paid, not paid, whatever. And I think that is the essence of Alex Ovechkin.
Great job. Chris is on at 1 following this show. You'll hear more from Chris, who was there Friday night and was there yesterday.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the world. Good morning, B-Mitch. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
I'm good, dude. I think it's an exciting time to be a DC sports fan, man.
It is. It is.
Yesterday,
it's an exciting time to be a Captain Commanders fan, but the other two
that's
are coming.
Enough.
They're coming.
Regardless of the rest of it. I mean, just for Ovi, since you and I mean, we've talked a bunch, but since you and I had the show Friday afternoon,
yep,
we all talked about, is he going to get it done at home against the Blackhawks? He damn sure got close.
He got close.
The best that goalie played against, the best Chicago's goalie played that whole night was the last 90 seconds when they were down 2 and the game was over and Ovi was just ripping.
Well, I think it could have – he was breaking it if the guy from Chicago doesn't knock the puck in, because he was right there inches away from hitting the puck. And I guess the guy was like, nah, we're not letting it happen, brother. But my whole thing, I didn't care. On the road, off the road, I was there on – it was Thursday,
Friday.
Right? Friday.
We were
Friday.
All there.
It was there.
Yeah.
That was – absolutely electric. And you were there yesterday.
Yeah.
And you said it was absolutely electric. Doesn't make a difference if it's at home. And I understand for the selfishness of fans and things of that nature. But the fans that traveled, the Caps fans that traveled, even the damn Islander fans, even just pure hockey fans, when you see a once-in-a-lifetime thing, the excitement cannot stay inside of you. As much as some people would love to hate those things, it comes out. Because when people start asking, man, when Ovechkin broke the record, man, I was in the building. Whether you hate it or not, you're gonna have to say it. You know? So I know how excited people were on Friday night. And I could just imagine how it was yesterday. Hell, Gretzky said he was so excited that he actually thought he had scored a goal, you know, and that's magnificent when you hear the great one saying that.
So I thought so much of the weekend was so awesome. Friday night at Nats Park was truly incredible. Nats Park at Capital One. The buzz in that building. I mean, you were sitting down. What were you guys? We 2 rows off the ice.
Yep.
My buddy John Williams was right behind you. Everybody, the one of the funniest stories, Lampville, you like this. So my buddy John is there with his son, Brody, and he texted me. He's like, so my son just asked me, hey, look, that guy's got a B. Mitch Caps jersey on. And John looks at him. He goes, no, that's B. Mitch. Like, if you see a dude with a 30 Caps jersey on and a giant bald head, it's actually Brian. It's not somebody cosplaying as Brian. But, like, you know, we hung out a little before. I saw you afterwards. Friday was this really just incredible celebration. And the buzz in that arena when Ovi scored early, right? He scores 4 minutes into the game, and everybody's like,
damn. I'm like, oh, it's happening.
Dude, it's like he's going to get this because now he's got, whatever, 56 minutes to get two more. Then a little bit of a lull, whatever, and then he gets one late that ends up being the game winner, I believe, or it gives them the lead. They would go on to score again with the empty netter. And then that flurry at the end of that game, I was standing with Chase Cates. And you know how it gets when there's like these moments the whole stadium's waiting for where you kind of end up like punching each other and you're like grabbing each other as he's like going down towards the net. And it was just so much fun. And it left you wanting, but I think it left you wanting in the best possible way in that leaving the arena that night, there's no question he's going to get it done.
Yeah.
The matter of when exists, but to see him tie it and to see him have that moment at home with his family and then he bows to Gretzky and then Gretzky's very much available was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if folks are overly concerned that he broke it on the road, I think that's a you thing. I think that's a little bit selfish. Like, he tied it at home, and then to go up to Long Island and being there and seeing. So I ended up, the only kind of, because of the logistics of all of it, the only way it really made sense for me was to fly up. So I flew up from DCA Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that DCA to LaGuardia, that flight happens every hour on the hour, uh-huh, every day.
And it's
always packed.
Uh-uh.
Right, you're up, you're down, bang. There were at least four dudes on my plane with Ovi jerseys. We landed LaGuardia, and you just see a ton more Ovi jerseys. I saw Barcel Nate was there. He said Penn Station, whatever it's called, Moynihan now perhaps, where everybody's waiting to get on the Long Island Railroad. Because so the stadium is out by City Field. It's out by Belmont Racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool venue. I had never been there. It's pretty new. I think it's 4 or 5 years old. But most people from the city take Long Island Railroad to get out there. He said it was packed with Caps jerseys. And then, you know Lou, like Digital Lou?
Yeah.
So he's based up there. So he went to the game to help with like social content for all the Odyssey stations. And he was saying he had never seen so many away team jerseys at an Islander game.
Listen, man, people wanted to be in the building, no matter what the price of the ticket was. A lot of people spent it.
Well, I mean, shout out to Cakes for having some foresight. Nate, the same thing. They bought those tickets like weeks ago,
mm-hmm,
and were like, hey, this could happen. This is a pretty easy away game to get to. And I do think some people just spent the money because it was historic.
Yeah, yeah.
But the crowd was awesome. Thank you, Chris. Being there, Caps get down 2-0 kind of early. Listen, at some point, Thursday's game is very important. They don't play again until Thursday. I think the boys are going to be ready. I think they'll be rested. I think there is real relief from the chase being over. I'd really like to see them Thursday night kick the Hurricanes' ass and kind of
love to see that too.
Get this train back on the track.
Yep.
But today's not the day for that conversation. Today's a straight-up celebration. I think, so I am there. They're down 2-0, and then it's first intermission, and it's kind of like, it's just dead. But I 100% believed the whole time that Ovi was going to break the record. I don't know if his mom lives here or his mom lives back in Russia, but he had talked about, he's got his wife and young kids, his mom, his father-in-law, his wife's dad. That's his, like, immediate personal traveling party.
Yeah.
Then you got Backstrom traveling, Oshie traveling, Gretzky, Bettman. And think about, like, all, and then Leontsis, like, Ted and Zach don't go to every road game, I don't think. And then their families. And think about that's just the people we recognize. And then they're all traveling with people, too. I think he just wanted it over.
I think he wanted it over, but I think once it was, I think, 8 or 9 games and 4 goals left, at that point, you just figured it's over. And then Thursday night when he rolls in and scores early, gets the second one, they weren't going through this whole season without it happening. For me, I'm sitting there with Ahmed, and for me, it's like when you break records sometimes, you want to do it quicker than the person set them. And he got the record, 1 game less than what Gretzky did, and he broke it, even when Gretzky had set it. Well, you know? So that, to me, means something. Like, when you see people break a record and they play like maybe 50, 60 games sure. longer than the other person, you know, it takes a little something away from it. But I was pushing for him to get it quicker than what Gretzky set it.
Well, if you consider the fact that he has lost so much time to labor issues in the NHL, a COVID season, and, dog, he's 39 and broke his leg 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And he's got, what, 43 on the year? Maybe it's 45? There's a legitimate chance he finishes with 50 again.
It's very possible.
Dude, if he continues to play, and that's up to him, and I don't know, if they go on a cup run and you break Gretzky's record and win a cup, might be a hell of a way to walk away. I have no idea what Alex is thinking. I think there's zero pressure on him to walk away because he's still just dominant.
Yeah. He can still do it. They know where he's doing. Where he's shooting it from, and they still can't stop it.
To me, he easily should be at 1,000. And I think 1,000 remains in play.
Yeah.
But so one of the coolest moments there.
Yeah, it's 42 this year.
42, okay. The Islanders, and dude, I knew that they had a big, strong, the Islanders is a crazy fan base.
Oh, yeah.
The few Islanders fans I know are lunatics. My buddy Lee's wife is a hardcore Islanders fan. Like, if you grew up in Long Island and care about that team, you tend to be maniacal, right? In a good way, like just a maniacal fan. So I knew that crowd, and the Islanders are fighting for a playoff spot too. I mean, lost in all this is that they're trying to climb their way into the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it was going to be a good crowd, but what I thought and what I saw in person is that the Islanders also have like a really proud hockey history. I didn't realize this. I knew they won Stanley Cups in the 80s. They won 4 in a row. At least that's what the banners showed me.
Uh-huh.
I think they won like 79, 80, 81, 82. So I was like, damn, I didn't know that.
That's
it
nice.
I didn't know it was like that. I knew the Nassau Coliseum used to bump. Like, I knew lots of things, but I'd say it was 50-50, maybe 60-40 Islanders Caps fans. There were a lot of Caps fans.
Some Islander fans made them some money yesterday.
Yeah, but B, when Ovi scored, everybody.
Yeah. But see, that's
everybody.
The thing. See, hockey fans may be a group that cheer for their teams, but they cheer for their sport also. Because that sport is not like football and basketball in this country. It's more of a sport that if you're a hockey fan, you're a hockey fan. You know what I mean? And I think when you see something happening that great, you have no choice but to cheer for it. You know what I'm saying? Because 31 years ago, that record was set by Gretzky. How many years do you think Phil Spivey ever get close to this one?
So I looked that up. The two closest dudes are like Crosby and Malkin, but they're contemporaries.
They're not playing that long.
Stamkos is next, and he's nowhere close and ain't going to get there. But B, my favorite moment. So shout out to Steve Wino, who just is a hockey encyclopedia. At the first intermission, we were all kind of saying, like, damn, the Caps just need a power play, and then Ovi's going to get this thing. And Wino pointed out, he's like, yeah, the trouble is the Islanders are the second least penalized team in the NHL. They just play a style that doesn't get penalized, right? And I'm like, well, damn. And then there it came. It was about midway through the second, I would say. And the penalty gets called. As soon as the penalty gets called, before the ref skates to the middle of the ice, says, number 16's going in, 2 minutes hooking, whatever the hell. As soon as the penalty gets called, dude holds up his arm. The whole arena, O-V, O-V,
they
O-V.
Know.
And that was one of the coolest moments because I'm sure Caps fans started it, but everybody was into it. Everybody's aware of the prowess and just the dominance Alex Ovechkin, you know, contains on the power play. And so they go to commercial break, though. I don't know if so penalty gets called, whole joint's rocking. They go to commercial, and then it just, like, builds up the anticipation in the arena. And sure enough, we got Walton or Joe Bia here. Here we go. John Walton calling Ovechkin's game break record-breaking goal.
So Carlson will make his way to the neutral ice, dropping it for Dylan Strome. He and Chychrun will team up and glide through center. Right side to Wilson. Centered up. Ovechkin has it. He scores! He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores 895! There's a new goal-scoring champion! And his name is Alexander Ovechkin! He has done it here on Long Island! His teammates mob him! There is but one! Alexander the Great, the greatest to ever do it in National Hockey League history!
John be getting it, dog.
I mean, couldn't have been more correct.
Yeah, it was, listen, man. I was at this 7-on-7 tournament yesterday. I was part of hosting and all.
Sure.
But I was following. And then I looked at this play real quick, and then my phone started to bzz, 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 bzz. I looked down and nothing but breaking news. I'm like, oh, hell, he did it. And I started, like, looking out. So you go straight to start looking for the play, and that play was up so damn quick. It was ridiculous.
Oh, it was everywhere.
God, it got up quick. But, you know, it was a absolute great feeling. I started telling people out there, and they were losing their minds.
It was his celebration was so spontaneous and joyful. And then just, you know, one of the moments I always love, and Lamphill's the true seam head here, but like at the end of the World Series, that dog pile on the pitcher's mound is just always one of the coolest moments. Yeah. And for the Caps to have that just at center ice, I thought the spontaneous emotional responses were so cool. And then I think the way the league, and I'm sure the Caps and the Islanders, to their credit, the way they handled like kind of the official ceremony and the pomp and circumstance of it, I all thought was so appropriate. Having Gretzky, few people have the grace and the class at every step of the way.
Yeah,
Gretzky was cutting a wrestling promo out there.
He was cool the whole time. Didn't have a problem with it. Like he said, records were made to be broken. He said, but I don't know who's going to break this one because it's going to take a long – it's going to have to be some phenom that come that probably not even born yet, to be honest with you.
Absolutely,
but
man,
the ultimate thing of it, man, it's when you are playing sports, you may plan what you want when you do something like that, but when that happens, it takes over you. You don't have a clue of what you're going to do.
I think Ovi was just overcome, and then I think – I asked him after the game, and he said, hell yeah, just the level of relief.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, like, he didn't look like it, but you knew the pressure was on. And like he said, I won't have to answer no more questions about it. And I think that is the main thing. As a person, I broke a lot of damn records, but, you know, I ain't broke that record. But when you're going through it, you get tired of answering, and you know what you start thinking? I don't want my teammates having to answer this. I need them to focus on the game.
Dude, John Carlson after the game in the locker room, and they gave Ovi the beer shower and everything, and then we came in like 5 minutes later. That joint was
I would have told him, save me a beer.
Yo, it's pretty wild. This one dude kept walking in and out with this cooler on wheels because we had to wait outside for a while, They kept calling it the lunchbox. They're like, oh, we need another lunchbox. And this dude would go somewhere and come back with this cooler on wheels. Hey, I'm sure it was full of sandwiches.
Stadium. It's a lot of beer in there.
I think
you can find it.
A whole bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
They didn't have the outdated beer.
Nah, dog. They were ready to rock. But Carlson, after I asked him, you know, what does this mean for you guys as Ovi's teammates? And he said, and Carlson's usually not like the longest talker. He's always direct and forthright and a good answer. But he gave this really long, detailed answer about how generous Ovi has been with his time his spirit throughout this. And I think he was so accurate because this has got to get boring and difficult. And he's been on the road for a lot of this. So every person's asking him every question. And I just had that in my mind. And then at the very, very end, I see Ovi walking to the team bus. And it's a decent, you know how we're, like, similar to the NFL, the visitors' locker room's never close to get to the buses. It's always a little bit of a walk. Yeah. You know, like, they don't make things easy for the visitor.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ovi had, it's called a 5-minute walk. And he's walking. He finally gets down the ramp to where the buses are. And if I had to guess, that bus was ready to get pretty rowdy once Alex got on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two dudes. I don't know who they were, how they got there, whatever. And they're just like, can we get a picture, please? And he's like, sure, man. And he stops, he takes a photo, then he starts to walk away. And then the other dude is like, wait, can I get one? And he's like, sure, man. And he goes back, takes a picture, says something in Russian, to which I don't know what it was, and then he finally gets on the bus. But after everything he's done and accomplished and all the answers and all the interviews and everything else, mm-hmm. to then stop with two random dudes when you're about to get on the bus just says a lot about who you are as a person.
Yeah, but I think, though, when I heard you say it last night, it's one thing about athletes. They know, especially those of his stature, they know what it takes to make sure you're going to be remembered in a certain way.
Yeah.
It just like becoming a parent or becoming a mother, you don't have any damn book that tell you what to do. It just happens. And I think when you get to that level, it just happens.
For sure.
Try to force it to him if he's open.
Here is Ovechkin. Shoots. He scores!
What'd you feel yesterday as Alex Ovechkin broke the NHL's all-time goal-scoring record that was long thought insurmountable? That is the question right now for you at 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. We're partying today in D.C. Joe Beninati at 3. He was on the call yesterday. Alan May at 5. He was at the desk yesterday, as he has been for Ovi's career, and Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Capitals, joins us at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. Danny, when he broke the record, for me, these things just become nostalgic that are many years in the making. So it was a 20-year buildup in some ways, but really it was only the last 4 or 5 years where it felt like he was chasing anything, and probably only a year and a half or 2 years where you really thought he had a legitimate chance to do it. But I just kind of flashback like a movie where you all of a sudden, you know, fast forward and stop and you're 9, and then you fast forward and stop and you're 11, and you fast forward and stop and you're 13. From really my high school days to now, and the thousands of dollars I've spent on merchandise and tickets and the hours invested in this team and just the amount of energy, positively and negatively, that goes into supporting the Capitals, this wonderful product that's been the best in town for going on 20 years, and he's been the sun in the solar system. He's the whole point. Also, the celebration after was so classic and classy and touching. As a parent, everything hits me differently. So his little boy's on the ice, and his wife standing next to him, and now his father's no longer there, which is awful, but his mom is out there at center ice with him. I was overcome with emotion. You know, I can't really do that stuff the way I could have several years ago without having to wipe the eyes a little bit. But it was cool to be with a lot of Caps fans at Caddy's yesterday at our watch party. Friday night was the greatest atmosphere as a sports fan maybe I've ever been in. That would have supplanted it had he have gotten a third that night and I was jumping around and hugging strangers because everyone was on 15 out of 10. Caddy's was pretty darn close. But for me, it was just it's a lifetime achievement. 20 years, he's ours, and for all time, as long as I'm alive, he'll be the king of goal scoring. It just felt like we accomplished something. I didn't.
Right.
I was fat and I ate wings. He scored a goal.
Combined, you guys have 895 combined.
It felt like we, and I mean Royal, D.C., the Capitals, fans, we did something.
I know what you mean. So you touched on a couple of things about
how I felt, actually. I'll try to make this quick. Saturday, my oldest son had a soccer game, right? And he really likes soccer, has worked pretty darn hard to improve, and something he's passionate about. It hasn't always had like the most athletic confidence and things like that, but gets a great through pass from his teammate, makes this incredible touch that like I didn't know that he could do, quite frankly, and buries a shot past a diving goalie with his left foot to win a 1-0 game. It was a great play at any level. And, you like that they won and you're happy that they scored. I mean, that's not what it's supposed to be about, right? It's like, did you compete? Did you learn something? Were you a good teammate? Were you a good person at the end of the day? But when that moment happens, like, I'm sitting there as a dad. I am so filled both with joy for what he's feeling right there and pride. And that's the feeling that I have when Ovechkin scored that goal. I didn't know how I'd feel. I know what it was like watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, where any second you're standing on one little tippy toe on the edge of a knife, and the slightest bad deflection could result in catastrophe. Think of Braden Holtby's save. If it's a millimeter one way or the other, it's a goal. Now you may have lost game two and you don't win the Stanley Cup. Or you're down against Columbus and it takes a puck off Lars Eller's thigh. You're down 3-2 to Tampa. Or whatever. Million things have to happen for the Nats and the Caps to not win those championships. Those feelings of anxiety with the rush of relief and euphoria. This was different. This was this countdown. And I didn't know what I was going to feel. And I remember thinking back to the day before Saturday, watching my kid score that goal, and then Ovechkin scores, and I'm sitting there just grinning like an idiot. Yeah, I'm not jumping up and down, hugging strangers like it was a championship, but it was this, yeah, man, everybody's looking at us. Everybody's looking at our guy, and the yard looks nice. You know what I mean? Everyone's looking at us. We're the belle of the ball. It's our dude that did it, and it was pride.
Zach, Fairfax, what were you feeling yesterday when he pulled it off?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, brother.
So I was actually at a travel baseball game, and I was watching on my phone.
Relatable content, bro. Yep.
When he scored, I said to everybody, he did it. He did it. It was so cool. But I got to tell you, I was there on Friday, guys.
Oh.
And I'll preface this by saying I bought the tickets in October because I grew up in Chicago. I love the Blackhawks, but, I've lived here 18 years, and the Caps are another love. And I went with my 8-year-old son and, just being there and seeing it and experiencing it with him, just like you guys were saying about, fathers and sons. And, I saw some pretty amazing sporting events in my time. I saw the Last Dance Bulls in 98.
Yeah.
That goal, to see him tie that record in that atmosphere, was probably the greatest sporting event I have ever seen in my life live.
It was wild. Bananas, epic, electric. The only thing I can describe it as is every time he came over the boards,
yep.
If you were blind, you would have known because of the audible noise in the arena,
mm-hmm.
Because of the reaction. It was very clear if you closed your eyes, all right, there's an energy, what's happening right here? Oh, Ovi just came on the
ice. Oh, that's what's happening, yeah.
Every time he touched the puck, people lost their mind. I actually audibly laughed out loud at one point. Because he got the puck in the defensive zone. Sometimes where you like gather the puck behind the cage and you wait for your guys to change and there's just that. Like, that was happening. And everyone's like, shoot it.
The furthest away from the goal you could be, blocked by your own goal. People are like, oh. Yeah.
The entire night.
Uh-huh.
And it's low stakes because they've wrapped up the Metro.
Mm-hmm.
They basically wrapped up the East. They're playing, respectfully, sir, I apologize, a horrendous Blackhawks team.
Yeah.
And they're so bad. And they're playing down as best they can, by the way. But the whole night was just a party.
Yep.
They were chanting Ovi. Frankly, it was a literal party because a bunch of the Cup heroes, Oshie and Backstrom, came back and were honored before the game, DSP. Roof's blowing off at that. They go sit in the suite to cheer on their Cup buddy, Ovechkin. People are chanting Ovi before the game. He scores less than 4 minutes in.
Because of course he did.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He is such a showman.
Uh-huh.
He has that flair for the dramatic Cal Ripken Jr. style. He would have done this weeks ago if he didn't miss 16 games. He'd be beyond 900 goals right now. And that's not even to talk about some of the games missed in his career. The entire 04-05 season because of a lockout after he was drafted. That's 82 games wiped away. That's 50 or 60 goals possibly. misses nearly half of the 12-13 season, another lockout. That's another 20 to 30 goals, possibly. And then he misses games both in 1920 and 2021, two different seasons, because of the pandemic, almost 40 games. So, you know, just conservatively, we're talking about another 100 goals left out of his control completely, not to mention the 16 games for injury this year, where we'd be marching toward 1K right now.
That's right.
Mr. 1,000, Alex Ovechkin.
Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Score! The chasing days are done. Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL.
That's Joe Beninati on Monumental Sports Network with an exceptional call of history. Alex Ovechkin's 895th goal. The chasing days are done. Ovi, now the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL, and it's almost, I don't even know what the word, it's eerie, freaky, weird, bizarre, Anthony, that they wound up doing this in like the exact same number of games. You know, sometimes we see these all-time records get broken because guys just have preposterous longevity. And we know that the guy breaking the record actually isn't as great as the thing. Not that longevity isn't something that we shouldn't want in our athletes and in sports, but that it's purely a counting deal. It's like, oh, that guy, that's an accumulation record. No, no. If Alex Ovechkin's is an accumulation record, then so was Wayne Gretzky's. The greatness over time, the longevity of quality is the thing that is most remarkable about this. And now we see Ovechkin as sitting atop a list. And Wayne Gretzky, anytime you're touching one of his records, is you're talking about the highest level of sports history, not hockey history, sports history. I've always kind of put Gretzky and Jerry Rice in a different class, Anthony, because Jerry, if you're touching one of Jerry Rice's receiving records, you are so far beyond the guy next to you, the guy that you passed 3 years ago, because that's how long Jerry Rice played at a high level. And Wayne Gretzky's that in hockey. He still holds the all-time scoring record as in points. And he has more assists or more points on just assists, nevertheless more assists, than anyone else if you tally their goals and assists together. Like, that is how great he was and how long he did it. And so if you are touching one of those records, you are doing something so extraordinarily special. And Ovechkin has done it with one team through mostly winning. It's not like he's accumulated a bunch of goals in bad seasons. Of course, you know, I think the playoff struggles are documented up until 2018, and certainly you wish a couple of times since then they could have made some deeper runs. But as a regular season hockey player, there just aren't that many better. And I think the other thing that really stands out to me, Anthony, and this is where I want to open up the phones at 301-230-0980, is that done it, you know, all in one sweater part, is that done it in D.C. part. We've never in D.C. had an athlete like Alexander Ovechkin. Ever. And most cities have not, to be fair, to D.C. There aren't a lot of cities that can say the definitive or a definitive top 10 player in the sport played here. Boston is the rare exception. They've got multiple, right? They've got Bill Russell and Larry Bird as Celtics. They've also got, some guys on the Bruins that are kind of on that list. Ted Williams is a Red Sox. Like, those are top 10 all-time type of guys. So Boston, rare exception. But to have a guy for their entire career the way that we've had Ovi in D.C. is just exceptionally rare. One, guys don't do that anymore. And two, and haven't for a long time, especially in this sport. Gretzky wore, three, four different jerseys by the time it's all said and done. And you have a guy in Ovechkin that's been here the entire time, undoubtedly the same. You know, we'll see, she's only 22 years old, but like Trinity Robbins on pace to be one of the greatest soccer players we've seen if her back doesn't cause problems. But she's already talked about the fact that she wants to go to Europe at some point and play. We had Michael Jordan, but Wizards era Michael Jordan is literally like a joke, even though he was still remarkably good when he was here. And it's just how lucky are we? And that's the thing I think I come back to on a purely sporting side. And I know, you know, to score this moment, or this goal in this moment of geopolitics in the world and everything is a more complicated conversation, part of which we had with Steve Wino last week, that if folks want to, you know, if that's interesting to you, then definitely check out what Wino had to say about it, because it was really good in terms of the context of how, like, the league is celebrating this and how people within it and how it's being received in hockey circles. But I think purely as a sporting achievement in this moment right now, my reaction to this was like, man, it's pretty freaking cool that we got this guy here, because most fan bases will never get to experience this.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool thing. But also the fact that, you know, we get to witness this, like the fact that I'm alive to see, you know, LeBron break a record. And now Ovi's out here, you know, breaking records.
But think about LeBron, right? Like, who does LeBron – and again, these are grown-ass humans. They don't belong to anyone, right? So, like, don't take this – no one take this literally. But in terms of, like, the sports character, who does LeBron belong to? Like, I would say mostly Northeast Ohio and Cavs fans. But, like, Northeast Ohio is a region. But that one's different because he's from there, like, truly from there, of there. But, like, his best years were spent in Miami. His golden years are being spent with the Lakers. He spent more time with the Lakers than either the Heat or the Cavs, I believe, at this point. Maybe Cleveland still got it barely, but he's way more years with the Lakers than he is at the Heat, but the Heat got his absolute peak of his powers. So, like, who does LeBron, quote-unquote, belong to, right? I don't know. Who does Alex Ovechkin belong to in terms of the sports character, the sports personality? The District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. And that I think is so exceptionally rare and cool and should be appreciated. And I think is appreciated, frankly, by Caps fans and even D.C. sports fans, for whom the Caps are their third, fourth, fifth team on their favorites list.
Yeah. So on top of that, I just think it's crazy, though, that we get to witness players, athletes break records that no one thought was, you know, attainable in a sense. And I remember being a little kid, having, you know, the Capitals draft Alex Ovechkin, and being like, who's this great A guy? And then for him to, you know, have his career and, like, continually, you know, break record and, you know, bring a championship to the city and just spend his entire livelihood here, I think it's incredible because, again, I was a little 8-year-old boy when, like, he first got drafted. And now, you know, he's out here doing big things, breaking records, and, you know, has the Capitals, you know, first in the Eastern Conference. Like, I think if you asked a Rooster, if you asked, you know, anybody on the GND show, they would have said the Capitals are exceeding, you know, expectations. And the fact that, you know, he's doing this on a winning team while leading this team – while he's 40 years old, I think it's even more remarkable. And the fact, Craig, this guy broke his fibula in November. He missed 16 games and still came back even better. Like, it is crazy. So, huge testament to, you know, who Alex Ovechkin is. Again, like, 20 years of doing this, it just takes nonstop dedication. And I'm proud of the work that he's put in the last, you know, 20 years and what he's brought to the city of D.C.
I mean, I think the other thing that, like, is remarkable about this is the level he's playing at right now. I mean, literally the last month is, like, as good as he's ever been.
Man.
And I'm by no means a hockey expert. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, we talked about this off the very top of the show. I've had people ask me in the last couple of days, especially as this has been the story, right? Why don't you talk about the Caps more? Why don't you talk about Ovechkin more? And it happens with some frequency anytime the Caps, like, really bubble up in the news. And what I tell those folks, and typically they go, oh, you want to know what? That's fair. Is hockey just isn't my thing. And that's fine. I'm not here to say that my things are better than your things. I'm here to yuck anybody's yum. Hockey's a great sport. I thoroughly enjoy going to games when I go. You know, I've been watching a little bit more as of late, knowing that this playoff run is coming and it's going to be a bigger part of our show for a couple of months, hopefully, as they go on another Stanley Cup run. And so I've been watching a little bit more, and, like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is good. I just you know, typically I've been a basketball guy. Obviously, I spend a ton of time doing the NFL stuff. I have some other things that are interesting to me, soccer world, et cetera. You know, and especially as women's basketball has blown up, and like that's something that I've always followed and it's become easier to follow. That's taken a lot of my time over very similar seasons. And so if you care a lot about Ovechkin and about the Capitals, you probably know more than me. And listening to my perspective on something like this, or on a game-to-game basis especially, like, what am I going to teach you? So it's not that I'm ignoring or disrespecting your sport and your favorite sport, but that's when I think it's fun to just notice and appreciate how much this has captured the attention of even people like us who are sports fans who love greatness of or athletic greatness and can so easily appreciate what it is by reading the perspectives and listening to the perspectives of all those people who do follow this on a more regular basis. But I think when you break a Gretzky record specifically, no one needed to explain to me how special this was. It is just so self-explanatory of how great this is. That doesn't mean there aren't great stories to be told. That doesn't mean that there isn't more context that makes it all the more miraculous. But to get back to the point that, you know, that I was making before I veered off of this, I was kind of gearing up for this, you know, as I said, watching a little bit more, reading a little bit more, making sure that I was locked in on some things, that I was ready for the show and to talk about this stuff. I didn't get very far on the ramp because the way he's played the last 2 weeks as this record has been like, oh, is he going to break it before the end of the season? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. Like, how fast? Oh, it's done. He's scored at such a crazy rate that the NHL's probably pissed. Like, this could have been a couple weeks long thing. Hey, can we get past the NCAA tournaments and we could be the biggest story in sports for a week as Ovechkin chases it? Nope. Hey, he needs a hat trick to get it Friday night. Oh, he scored two and darn near got a third late in that game. And instead, he goes and breaks. Oh, can they make it home games this week? You know, we had talked about if he doesn't break it over the weekend, are we going to do our show live at Capital One Arena this week? Don't need to anymore. It's done. If the Caps want to have us, we'll come out and say hi. But, like, we're not going to be there because Ovi's about to break the record because he already did it. Just the level that he's at right now on this team playing this well, it's crazy special.